My name is J.D. Upton from Morningstar Baptist Church. I'm a 17-year-old young preacher under Michael John Rochester. I'll be bringing the message for you. We'll be in Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of in Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blaspheme of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. We're in the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation, as we know, is the very last book of the Bible. And it is the, you could say, the crowning jewel of the Bible, where it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation means to the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And I want to break it down for you in categories, if you would. And I want to address one of these categories that I'm going to give you. If I had to choose chapter 1, it would be John's encounter with the Lord, on where he is about to write the book of the Revelation. If I had to break down 2 and 3, it would be the Lord's address to the 7 churches which are in Asia. 4 through 18 would have to be the rapture, then the tribulation period. And then 19 through 22 would have to be the end of times with the New Jerusalem and the devil. He's going to the lake of fire. It would have to be that. But I want to address in Revelation the 7 churches of Asia. Well, I want to address one of the 7 churches out of 2 and 3. If you study these 7 churches, the Lord is coming unto these 7 churches in chapters 2 and 3, and he is examining them. He is looking them over and trying to see their condition. If they have any type of wrinkles, you would. He's trying to see where they are in their relationship. And he's telling them if they are pleasing or displeasing to the Lord. It's a sad thing to think that 5 out of these 7 were displeasing to the Lord. Could it be that 5 out of the 7 churches in America, if you would, are displeasing to the Lord? I don't know. But 2 out of the 7, the minority, is pleasing to the Lord. They're pleasing to the Lord, meaning that they are doing what the Lord wants them to do. And these displeasing churches are doing what they're not supposed to be doing for the Lord. And so the Lord addresses them with these letters. And when he's addressing them, he has no slack for them. But I want to give you some pointers, if you would, about these letters. To the churches that he is displeased with, he gives a characteristic or a name about himself. And really, you could say the way he is going to address the matter at these churches. He gives them a name and a characteristic about himself. Let me give you an example from one of these churches. Let's look at beginning of chapter 2, the church of Ephesus. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Now, if you look at the last verse of chapter 1, he says, the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Now, let's go look at what he's saying here. What he's against this church. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The Lord is giving a characteristic about himself, in that he is in the midst of the seven churches, and he's saying that if you do not repent, I will remove your candlestick. It's like that through all these letters to the churches. But one thing is that the five churches he was displeased with, he gives them a characteristic on how he's going to judge them if they don't repent. The churches he's displeased with, he tells them what they're doing wrong, and that he's against them, and that if they do not repent, that judgment is coming. But to the two that the Lord is pleased with, he gives them a name of themselves that is comforting. It's encouraging to them. And I'm wanting to look at the very first church that the Lord addresses, that he is pleased with them. He's very much pleased with them. And that is the verses I have read to you of the church of Smyrna. Smyrna is known as a suffering church. To be honest with you, at this time when it was Asia, they are in the very center of persecution. They have the shortest letter, but they also have the sweetest letter. They're short and sweet. It's short and sweet, the letter is. And if you look into it, that whenever the Lord addresses the churches that he's displeased with, he tells them, you need to repent. He gives them a solemn command to repent. But these churches that he is pleased with, he gives them a charge, if you would. He tells them that you need to keep on doing what you're doing, and that something bigger is coming your way. The charge that the Lord has given unto the church of Smyrna is this. Look at verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful. The word faithful from Noah Webster 1828 means loyal, consistent in his duties, attending to commands. If I had the word faithful means, you could say to hold on to the plow and don't let go. Grab a hold of it. And don't shake. Don't let go. Be consistent in what you're doing for the Lord. Keep being consistent. Every Christian can be faithful in what they're doing for the Lord. I'm pretty sure most Christians, if you're in the study in the Bible, they know this is the rule of first mention in the Bible. And that the very first word, that definition, it carries through the whole entire Bible. Well, the very first place where faithful comes, it's in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. My servant, Moses, is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. I cannot think of a better person than Moses to be an example of faithfulness for us. You think about Moses, somebody who lived 120 years and it was broken up, you could say, in 40 years, 40 years, 40 years. In 80 of those years, he served as the pastor, if you would, to the nation of Israel, to the children, to the congregation. And he dealt with them for 80 years. That is faithfulness. I mean, I think the Lord honored his faithfulness. If you think about the way he died, the Lord performed his funeral. And this is the Lord speaking right here, saying that Moses is faithful in all mine house. Let me give you another example of faithfulness. One man that was a very big impact on me was the pastor before the pastor I have right now, and that was Preacher Kerrigan. Preacher Kerrigan pastored Morningstar Baptist Church for a total of 50 years. And he did not back up. He was consistent in sticking with what he what was made here. He did not back down, and he stuck with it even to death. Toward the end of his life, he wasn't here that much due to some sicknesses and so much as that had. But he was faithful. He came whenever he needed to be here, and he was there for his church members. He was faithful. But one thing about this is that every Christian can be faithful. Not every Christian is going to be called to preach. Not every Christian is going to be called to the mission field. But every Christian can be faithful. Every Christian. Every Christian can be faithful to church. Every Christian can be faithful praying to the Lord. Every Christian can be faithful reading their Bible. You can be consistent. And you don't have to... Anything you're doing for the Lord, I'm going to be honest with you, it's a little thing. Because he does all the big things. But it's meaningful to the Lord that you are faithful. It's meaningful. The Lord wants his child to be faithful. He desires faithfulness from his child. If your faithfulness, if it's just reading your Bible and praying, the Lord sees it. If your faithfulness is just sitting on a pew and coming to church, you don't understand. We have men in our church that are not even called to preach, but they are here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, revivals, Wednesday night. They are here and they're faithful. As a young man who's almost an adult in many years, I'm still young, but it is encouraging to me to see someone who is faithful. It's encouraging to know someone is faithful. And your pastor, if you're under a good pastor, he wants you to be faithful. Our pastor just this Wednesday night said that if he looks over at our pews and he sees someone out there, it bothers him because he wants you to be faithful. He needs you to be faithful. You should want to be faithful. I want to look at this. I just gave you the charge that was given to Smyrna. I want you to look at the commitment of faithfulness. Whenever he gives this charge to them, he says, "Be thou." He's saying, you need to be faithful. You have the responsibility to be faithful. One of the biggest sayings that has impacted my life was by a man named Barry Rackley, who is a preacher. He said, your spirituality is your responsibility. And in other words, he's saying this, is that you should be faithful in your things concerning the Lord. You should be faithful. It's your choice if you want to be faithful. The Lord is not going to put a rod of iron over you and make you be faithful. And if you're a child of God, I believe that the Lord put something inside you that says, I want to be faithful. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. The Lord put something inside you, I believe. The Holy Spirit, it has a desire to be faithful. But I also believe in the free will of man. And it's your choice if you want to be faithful. It's your choice. Not everyone, like I said, is going to get called to preach. Not everyone is going to go to the mission field. But we can be faithful to the things that God has commanded us to do. And we should be faithful to them. And I understand, yes, God is a righteous and just God. He will judge you if you are slack. If you're lazy, he will deal with you as a father. But there should be a little spirit inside you that wants to be faithful because he's the Lord. There's something that should be inside you that tells you you should be faithful. There's men in the Bible who are known for being faithful men because they knew if they were not faithful, it would break the Lord's heart. In this church of Smyrna, you just think about it. The Lord only has 2 out of the 7 churches that he can say has been faithful. You don't think that's breaking the Lord's heart just to know that only 2 out of 7 churches are faithful? Only 2 out of the 7 churches he is pleased with? But I promise you, if you're part of the 2 out of the 7 churches that he's pleased with, he'll reward you. If you're faithful, the Lord don't pass that by. Be faithful. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a cost to faithfulness. There is a cost. And the cost of faithfulness, if you just look at this, it says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blaspheme of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful in the death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You know what he's telling them? Smyrna is known as a suffering church. Smyrna was in the very center of Asia of persecution. But he's asking them, are you willing to be faithful, no matter the cost? Can you be faithful if it costs you something? Yes, for you to be faithful, it will cost you time. It may even cost you money. But I promise you, it is not worthless. It is a high stake to be faithful. It is a very high stake. But the Lord wants you to be faithful. Now this is going to bless your heart as much as I did mine, I hope. The word Smyrna means this. It means myrrh. Myrrh. Myrrh is a substance that is known for its sticky nature. I don't find that a coincidence. But I want to be known as somebody with some stickability to the things of God. I want to be known as someone who did not fall behind and was not faithful concerning the things of God. Yes, I am called to preach, but I should also be faithful to those things that the Lord has given me to do and has commanded me to do through his word. I want to be known for a stickability, and you should too. You should want to be known for a stickability. That you don't wobble off the axle. But that you are faithful. Whenever I was a little boy, I came off the church van. They gave me a little name that actually went away for some reason. I don't know why. They called me Mr. Faithful. And the reason why they called that was because I was a van kid who tried to come every single time I could to church and revival. Now, I'm not trying to uplift me. I'm just telling you is that there was something inside me that wanted to be faithful and to be known for my stickability. There was something inside me that I wanted to be known as someone who was faithful to the things of God. I wanted to be known as someone who was not a slacker, who just didn't come for entertainment, but who came because he wanted to be faithful to the things of God. Do you want to be known as someone who's faithful to the things of God? I do. The Lord gives this church a command to be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death. And when he's doing this, he gives them some encouragement. That was all my introduction. Now I'm getting to my points. That's a goodness. I want to give you the first thing the Lord gave them to encourage the church to be faithful. Let's look at verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of in Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I want to look at the reliance of the Savior. We've already made the case that in the letters that he gives a characteristic about himself. And then this characteristic is very interesting. He says, I am the first and the last. And then he says, I was dead and is alive. I don't know about you, but it sounds like the Lord is trying to give us an example of him being the God-man. He's always been, but he died and now he's alive? The Lord Jesus Christ has always been. The Lord Jesus Christ will always be. The word first and last means that he is everlasting to everlasting. But guess what? He's just not the God that is everlasting, everlasting. But he came down from heaven and lived 33 and a half years and died. If I had to think of someone greater than Moses, someone greater than Preacher Kerrigan, someone greater than anybody else in the Bible who is the center figure of the Bible, it would have to be the Lord Jesus Christ as someone who's faithful. It would have to be. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came and walked on this earth for 33 and a half years, and he was faithful. He says from the very first thing you could say that the Lord said in Scripture was that he was about the Father's business. And he was faithful to do that. He did his Father's business. And he was not slack doing it. I promise you, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not a slacker. He was a man's man. He was faithful. He was faithful in his ministry down here. He's faithful now in what he's doing for the saints up in glory. But the one thing that should encourage us is that he was faithful on Calvary. He was faithful. Just think about it. How can someone be so faithful in something knowing that he's going to die? A tremendous death that was the judgment of God upon him. Think about it. He was faithful. He didn't give up. He didn't think about turning aside. He was committed in doing what he was sent to do here. He was faithful. No wonder whenever he comes back, he's going to have a sign on him called Faithful and True. He is the only one who's truly been faithful in doing the Father's business. And the Christian goal is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and we cannot be more like him in our faithfulness. The Lord is faithful. Bless the Lord, he's faithful. And what he does for me and for you. But praise the Lord, he was faithful in doing the Father's business. As we should be faithful in doing the Father's business. We have some of the best preaching ever in human history. But we have some of the sickest Christians in the sickest churches I've ever seen. Study out the churches. The churches, the preachers back then, even Paul, even Peter. What? We got some of the best preaching ever. But we got less of faithfulness I've ever seen. It makes no sense. Being faithful does not mean having a form of godliness. Wow, you lift your hand during the singing. I can do that too! I can do that! I can singing the choir. But faithfulness is showing God that you are committed to the things of God. Point two, the riches of his glory. There's an interesting phrase. Oh my goodness. Okay. There's an interesting phrase that the Lord gives to this church. And he says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. The glorious thing to know about being faithful is that your work is not in vain. Your faithfulness is not in vain. He can gladly say to this church that you are rich because their works have been faithful. And I promise you that the Lord will reward faithfulness at the end of it. Your faithfulness is not in vain. Anything that you have gotten by being faithful, it is eternal. Corinthians says, those that are wood, hay, and stubble will go into the fire. But what we have is gold and silver and precious stones. The things that we have are from everlasting to everlasting. It is eternal. Our riches are eternal. And I'm going to have to go down to my last point because I'm running out of time. He promises them this. Oh, he promises them this. I will give thee a crown of life. Look who's giving the crown. It's the Lord. It's not Michael the archangel. It's not Moses. It's not Abraham. It's not the disciples. Not Gabriel. It's the Lord. The Lord is giving this crown. What more can the Lord do? Give us grace that abounds more than sin. Mercies that are new every morning. And he's going to give us a crown? What? I'm with that crowd that whenever they give us the crowns, I'm going to give it to the one who's truly been faithful in everything. I mean everything. But I'm also looking forward to whenever I go past the shores of death and the Lord's going to say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We should all be faithful. We should all be faithful because he's faithful. He's always been faithful. He's never slacked. Don't you want to wake up one day in the glory land and hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because you don't work for your salvation, but you are working for those rewards. And one of the ways you can get them is by being faithful. Faithful. Be faithful, and the Lord will reward you for it.